One of the hardest things for anyone to do is change. And the hardest part of that can be initiating it. Do you have items sitting on your wish list that have been there a long time, like losing weight, getting fit, or working on your cholesterol? Unless you turn them into tangible goals, they'll remain just a list of wishes. But if you have the courage, we're here to help you make them a reality. Go Healthy for Good starts right now. Dr. Nerida, welcome to Go Healthy for Good. To make progress in any arena, including health and wellness, we need to battle the enemies of change. Paul of Tarsus advised being transformed by the renewal of your mind or adopting a new pattern of thinking. Let's join Andrew as he begins to battle the enemies of change.
I joined this program because I wanted to make a lifestyle change. And it's very difficult, you know, because when you're growing up, living a certain way, eating certain foods, drinking certain drinks, and having inactivity or activity, you know, it affects your body, especially when you get older. And so it's affecting me, and so it's affecting me in a negative way. So I wanted to choose and go through this program to make a lifestyle change, because a lot of the information that was shared, I already know. It's just a matter of making that change and making a decision to make that change. I make the change because, you know, I have a family, a young family that I need to be around for, you know, when they grow up and so forth. So I want to be there to experience growth with them. I want to grow with them and share my life with them and just spend time with them. A lot of times you hear things like people are sedentary, and that's the lifestyle that people have, but they encourage you to be more active, and you know, they give you a pedometer to track your steps and see how many miles you've gone in a day, and to use that as a gauge to whether increase it or not. And you know, certain foods, they educate you on certain foods and what the detriment of the other foods that are not so good for you are. So slowly, you know, when I look at food, when I go through to restaurants or certain choices that I make for foods, I'm more aware of what to choose and what not to choose. And that has helped me. And it showed improvements and changes in the way I feel and the way I am physically.
And how we feel can be the trigger for change. On today's episode, we have a new recipe, a burst of activity, and an expert on behavioral change. But first, the news. In the headlines today, educate and replicate, periodontal care reduces health costs, and better attitude, more change. When it comes to change, education and replacement are more effective than simply exclusion. 55 volunteers were advised to reduce their salt intake for the sake of their health. They then participated in a two-phase experiment lasting 6 months. For the first month, they all followed a low-salt diet formulated by the research team. Thereafter, half the group did their own salt reduction, while the other half learned how to monitor their intake, how to overcome barriers to making that change, and how to eat out safely, while replacing salt with herbs and spices. The group that received training ate 1,000 milligrams less sodium per day during the second phase of the experiment. So desire, knowledge, and skills all help in making changes. People who seek treatment for periodontitis are less likely to require treatment for diabetes, cardiovascular disease, or to have a preterm birth. This comes from a new analysis of insurance company records presented at a recent American Academy of Dental Research meeting. Hospital admissions were down by 40% for diabetes and by 25% for cardiovascular disease. The cost savings for women having their first baby was down by more than 70%. These findings are consistent with previous studies that implicate periodontal or gum disease in many inflammatory conditions. So, for the sake of your heart or your next pregnancy, don't ignore bleeding gums. See your dentist. Having a positive attitude to change and affirming yourself makes lifestyle change more successful, even in the face of stress. These are the findings of a recently published study of people with chronic cardiopulmonary disease, which is known to respond favourably to healthy behaviours. Patients were split into two groups. Both groups completed a contract promising to increase their physical activity or to take their medication, and received an information leaflet. The intervention group received help to have a good attitude towards the change, to affirm their own adherence to change, and rewards for sticking with the program. People in this group were more successful in adopting the healthy change and coped better with stress or negative life events, even for 1 year after starting the program. So, have a good attitude and give recognition to yourself when you achieve your goals. I'm Dr. Narada McKibben, and that's today's Health News. Join us at the American College of Lifestyle Medicine Conference in Virginia. We're speaking with one of its board's directors, Mark Farries. He's an exercise physiologist with a doctorate in behavioral psychology. I asked him what it is about change that makes us resist it so much.
Well, we don't like it, typically, so that's sort of any change in any part of life is difficult to handle. We're sort of programmed to be automatic in our responses. System one, it's efficient for us to run that way. And so interruptions to that sort of automatic process is not necessarily a good thing, and we have to respond to it, or we set up our environment to where there's no interruption. So as we talked earlier with weight control, if the scale interrupts my, I don't like the way it feels, then I don't step on the scale. And so we tend to not like it. It's change is associated with an emotional response. And so that tells us good and bad things. And so we tend to resist that.
Now, we resist it, but then we actually do make changes, don't we? So what can be the motivation to do change, to actually push through that barrier?
Yeah, it does matter on the trigger. And so we know that we can tell someone they're pre-diabetic and their life is flipped 180 degrees and they do everything correctly and they fix their lifestyle, whereas the next person you tell, they're pre-diabetic and they don't care. Mm-hmm. And so the experience of that person, the past experiences they have, what's meaningful to them, their identities, their value systems, if the trigger matches up with that, we tend to get a better response for change. If it matches up to goals they have in their life, it works out pretty well. But we can coerce that change as well. And so motivation, there's not just one type of motivation. We are concerned about where that motivation comes from. We want it to come from within. That's the perfect situation. If people watch, Hope.tv to learn some things, it's usually intrinsic because they enjoy and they watch, and they don't have to regulate behavior to make that happen. I enjoy that. Read a good book, watch my favorite TV show. The problem is when the change is coerced. They feel they have to change. They definitely resist that more, and we call that extrinsic or controlled motivation. I'm doing it for an outcome, but the doctor's making me, the family member's making me, and that's what we're trying to avoid.
Right.
Yeah, we want it to come from within.
The chef is at work in the kitchen making ice cream, and we're going to join him right after the break. But first, this.
What would you like to drink?
Coke for me, please.
Nothing for me, thank you.
Water then?
No water either.
Are you sure?
Yes, I'm sure. No water. Thank you.
What? How are you going to wash your food down with no water?
Water or soda only dilutes the digestive juices.
Oh, well, that'll be good for my heartburn then.
Actually, it will do the opposite.
How's that?
When digestive juices are diluted, then stomach empties more slowly. So when you go to bed tonight and you lie down, the food is still in your stomach, it's mixed with acid and digestive juices. They come up into the esophagus and into your throat.
That's yucky. That's like those birds that feed their young pre-digested food.
Yuck, yes. So don't drink with your meals.
Well, how am I going to eat dry food like my toast? Do I just put tons of butter on it like I love to do?
No, all that fat is going to slow digestion as well. So what I do is I put fruits or vegetables in my meal.
Well, how does that help?
Well, they're full of water, you know, mineralized, distilled water.
Yeah, but I like to have lots of ice with my water and my Coke. You can't get that with your fruits and vegetables.
You're right. Ever had an ice headache?
Oh, yes, I have. I drink my Coke too fast. I eat my ice cream too fast. You ever had Coke and ice cream together?
Huh? But, you know, getting back to the headache, that's the blood flowing from your poor head down to your poor stomach.
Well, why does it do that?
Because your stomach needs to warm the food or the drink up before it can start digesting and passing it through to the intestines.
Yeah, but if I don't drink with my meal, that means I'll have to chew my bites better and I can't eat as much.
Well, that would be novel. You know, chewing mixes saliva with the food, and saliva is a digestive juice, so it starts the digestion right there in the mouth, speeds up the entire process. The other thing is, not chewing well, we know, is associated with obesity.
Oh, well, then I'll burp to that.
Oh, I can't take you anywhere, can I? Don't drink with your meals. Doctor's orders.
I know I'm looking for something. But what? Peace? Purpose? Meaning? I'm still not sure. But I know it's going to take faith.
You know, I never really liked taking out the trash. I mean, who likes taking out the trash anyway? I mean, it smells and you're always amazed at how quickly it accumulates. And worse yet, if you forget to take the trash out for the garbage truck to pick it up 1 week, you've got to sit with that trash for an entire week. And then by the next week, when that garbage truck comes to take that trash, you've accumulated even more smelly trash. But oh, the relief when that garbage man comes and takes that trash away. You know, in life, we accumulate a lot of trash, don't we? The trash of lies, lust, guilt, shame, and past mistakes that weigh us down. Did you know that someone paid the supreme price for your sins? His name is Jesus. And he took the trash of your sins and he placed it upon himself, and he died the death that you and I deserved. But then 3 days later, he rose from the dead victorious over sin and death. Today, he offers you in place of your trash his gift of grace and forgiveness. I accepted this gift when I was 12 years old. And I found that after you accept this gift, he begins to live in you his life of righteousness. And then you begin to experience peace and joy. So why don't you give him your trash?
Welcome to Go Healthy's Kitchen, and today we have Jeremy Dixon, chef and founder of Revive Cafes, and you don't want to miss this sweet treat. Jeremy, tell us what we've got today.
This is a great sweet treat for when kids want something sweet, but you don't want to give them something unhealthy like ice cream or candy, and it's blueberry and ice cream.
Nice cream.
Yes.
Sounds like ice cream.
It is, but a lot healthier for you.
Great. Well, tell us, what do you put in it that makes it so healthy?
Sure. Half a cup of raw cashew nuts, half a cup of water, 1 tablespoon of honey or date puree, 8 mint leaves, and 1.5 cups of frozen blueberries.
Wow, that sounds really simple. You know, often a healthy ice cream is a lot more complex than you can be bothered to do. So show us how this goes together.
Whip this up in a couple of seconds. It's very quick. And also you can use blueberries, boysenberries, raspberries, strawberries, mango, or any kind of frozen berries you've got. So it's
fantastic. And berries are so good for the eyes and for the brain. Just a powerful antioxidant. So this is a really nice cream.
Exactly.
Ice cream.
So we're going to start by making kind of a cashew cream just to make a nice creamy base. So we put the cashews in the water and we'll just blend this up by itself first. Blend this so we can just get a nice cream. So we'll just put this thing on.
Yeah, and this is so versatile. A cashew cream can be used for so many things.
Are you ready? Earmuffs on. Here we go, we have our base, and then we simply add the rest of the ingredients. So we add the mint, just throw the mint to take the big stalks off, you don't need to take all of them off. And we'll throw in some honey or date puree, you can use any other healthy sweetener you've got. If you want to fire the blueberries in.
Alright.
See if you can get them in without spilling them. That's the challenge. Oh, you're a professional. Put the lid back on, and you can use any kind of blender, even a stick blender for this. Just some blenders you may need to add a little bit more water just to make it go around, so some blenders may need a bit more liquidy.
Yep, and those blueberries are frozen.
That's right, yes.
You want frozen fruit when you're doing this. If you just put fresh fruit, you're going to end up with a fruit smoothie, which will be lovely, but you won't get that really nice ice flavour to it.
Are you ready?
Yes.
There we go. Simple as that.
Is that right?
And just pour it into the bowl. This one's, there we go, look at that. As you can see, it's nice and thick. And again, you may need to adjust the water to your berries and your processor, but you end up with a nice.
Now, can you keep that in the freezer?
You can, but it will turn to pretty much ice and turn rock hard. So you generally need to have it straight away. If you do put it in the freezer, you just need to defrost it a little. Stir it around and it all should come back to me.
Sounds great. Oh, well, I'm ready to move over to
this
part.
Let's try the finished product. Yeah. And you can garnish it with some other berries and some yogurt, some yogurt down the side, so it's
and mint leaves and
Exactly. Let's go.
Well, let's dig in. This looks like a really fancy dessert. Very nice. You could whip that up between courses and have that just fresh as well.
Exactly.
As a very light dessert. That is really nice. You want to try that. Great summer treat. Yummy. Watch Andrew's story closely now. He's unlocked some of the keys to successful change.
Some of the things I'm incorporating into my life that I've learned from this program is to get more rest and also drink more water and to be more active and also be selective with some of the things to eat and drink. And so when I do some of those things, it's giving me a little more energy. You know, they say that we should exercise or be more active. Well, exercise might not be appealing to many people, but being active, everybody can be active. The way I'm active is I go for walks with my dogs, or I'm on my treadmill, or I spend more time with my kids playing ball, playing sports, be on the trampoline. So I'm really active in other ways, and it's more fun as opposed to just being on a cycle or walking or running around a track or things like that. So activity doesn't necessarily need to be boring. It can be going for walks or going for bike rides with friends and family, and that's made it a little more appealing for me, because even though I need to get active, I'm doing it with people I love, people I appreciate and have a good time with. So it doesn't seem like a chore to actually exercise. I mean, I could tell a difference because, you know, I know my body and I could feel some of the changes that I've had. So I am a little more active and I have a little more energy. You know, when my sons ask me to do something with them, I'm not real reluctant. I say, yes, let's go out and do this, or let's go play basketball, let's go play baseball, or let's play football. So we're actually active and we're actually doing something together. So I do feel re-energized as a result of incorporating these activities and also, you know, getting more rest and drinking more water, and it makes a difference.
And the difference has been fun and positive. Today we're with Mark Ferries, Assistant Professor at Stephen Austin State University. Mark is specifically interested in helping people make changes that will enable them to achieve greater health and wellness. He teaches that change can begin by monitoring ourselves. I asked him what self-monitoring actually means.
Self-monitoring, it's paying attention on purpose. And so we set up our lives so that we can monitor our behavior, our outcomes. People monitor whatever they would like.
So give us an example of something, say, in our lifestyle.
So weighing once a week is a common for weight control. Using a physical activity monitor to see how many steps I got that day, how many miles I walked. Those are good examples. Dietarily, it's just simply monitoring the food. So we use some sort of maybe a diary or an app on the phone to help this process. But really, it's all means to the same end, that we're paying attention to our behavior, trying to catch it when we need to, so that we can make the proper change.
So at that point, it's simply observing what's happening. So what comes next?
The emotional response comes next. And so if there is a discrepancy, and so we monitor the scale example. If I find out I weigh more or less than I expected, you could get two completely different responses.
So we're actually comparing what we have with what our expectation might be, or
That's right.
We would like to be, perhaps a goal.
That's right, a goal, or we call it a perceived standard. And so it is perceptual.
Like the wedding dress.
The wedding dress, the family reunion, the high school reunion. That's right. It could be a magazine cover. It could be a family member. It could be friends at work and coworkers, and they set the standard for what I should be, how I should act, what I should look like.
And so it's important to be realistic.
It's crucial to be realistic.
When we're setting that.
It's crucial, and it's hard because it is perceptual, and so we don't necessarily know if we're, to us, we're accurate. The standard is accurate, and it usually takes some outside help to be able to see whether that is accurate or not, because if the standard is not accurate, and then we base our decisions, our emotional responses, and our motivation off of that incorrect standard, then we tend to fail more often than not. So it's crucial.
So, and when you say fail is a very negative word, isn't it? So you're suggesting that emotional response that we have can be a result of failing to meet what can be an unrealistic expectation.
That's right, and it was all the fault of the standard. And so we have a lot of situations where people do feel like failures. They do have a detrimental emotional response. They're sad, they're despondent, depressed from all of their effort because the standard was faulty. If we alter that standard, so an example would be if I'm using weight, the scale and the weight, but my goal is really fitness related, well, I could get frustrated because the weight's telling me one thing, but if I'm not measuring fitness level, I could be getting way more fit, but the scale is not changing as much as I think it should. And so if I put, it would be an incorrect standard, or I think I can lose this amount of weight in this short amount of time, and it doesn't work, then I'm a failure. We attribute those failures to ourselves. We see people buy products all the time, whether it be supplement or exercise equipment, and they try that, and that little piece of equipment doesn't work. So they say, you know what, exercise doesn't work for me. And so they will globalize some of those effects.
So when you say the piece of equipment doesn't work, it may work just fine. It just wasn't that their weight dropped or their muscles didn't grow, or...
It could be. It could be that it didn't work. Again, it's relative to that perceived standard. So if I think my muscles should grow this amount in my mind, and it doesn't happen, then do I attribute that to me as I'm a failure, or do I attribute it to that one product, or do I attribute it to a healthy lifestyle in general? And so that makes a big difference.
So it sounds like we should have some kind of life coach or some kind of external person looking in on us to say that's realistic or that's not.
It's definitely helpful. It's a hard thing to ask, to have everyone to be able to have the coach. Of course, I'm in that field, so I definitely believe in that sort of help. But you know, people with experience, it doesn't have to be a highly degreed individual. A lot of the coaching we can receive is from out, you know, sources that care about us. Of course, with this conference, you know, we're respecting the physicians and the medical providers to be that sort of coach and to provide that sort of support, at least from the standard standpoint, because a lot of the triggers that are occurring in the medical practice.
And a lot of our monitoring happens in a medical environment.
But of course, yeah, you bet.
Yeah. But what you're saying is perhaps we need to think more away from the medical model, think about self-monitoring, and then but looking outside to somebody else to validate our standards before we start comparing ourselves.
That's nice. If there's ways to validate the standard, that's step one. We do like to monitor lifestyle, specifically the behaviors. We tend to push away from monitoring outcomes because we can't dictate those per se, but we can dictate our behavior.
So we're going to come right back to talk about behaviors.
Great.
So first, we need to pay attention to where we're at and then find a realistic standard towards which to strive. But there's more to it than that, right after the break. When I was 8 years old, our class studied metamorphosis. We fed our ravenous black and yellow caterpillar until it became a vivid green cocoon. One morning during class, our fragile monarch butterfly broke out of her cocoon. We thought her wings too small, but over the next 2 hours, they expanded beautifully till she gracefully took flight across the playground. In the Bible, it says that if anyone is in Christ, they are a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now that's a promise of metamorphosis for us all, not just physically or emotionally, but also spiritually. You may be wondering what it means to be in Christ. It means confessing your sin and inviting Him to manage your life. Study His life and follow His example. It means to rest in His love, accept His forgiveness, and live in His mercy. Instead of living like a caterpillar, crawling around in the bushes, you'll soon be soaring like a butterfly. When God's love becomes the motif in your life, you won't need to focus on your behaviors, for doing the right thing will be a natural outflow of what's already in your heart.
The Lord is my rock, my fortress and my deliverer. My God is my rock, in whom I take refuge. He is my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold.
Makes me feel like I have a place in history. And I always tell my family, the more you learn about your past, the more you understand the present. But the past doesn't have all the answers, especially about the future. There's so much uncertainty and so much fear in the world today, which is why I'm so happy that I found something that brings together my past, my present, and my future. I know that no matter what happens, there is a plan. this gives me hope. Well, it's that time again. Time to get moving. Sean, good to see you.
Good to see you too.
What have you got for us?
So we're going to use very simple simple tools today, a resistant band. And we're going to work together as a team, all right? So I want you to grab somebody to work out with you. We're going to do two exercises individually, but I want you to do them simultaneously with your partner, okay? I want you to pick a rep between 15 and 20. Go a little bit higher. Today's about burning fat and calories, okay? So we're going to work a little bit faster, okay? So what you're gonna do is, well, actually, you know, we gotta get warmed up. You can't just start like that.
We gotta get warmed up. Yes,
we do. Not a good thing. All right, we're gonna start with some jumping jacks. Since what we're gonna do is a little bit faster, all right, we're gonna start with five jumping jacks in 3, 2, and 1. Go. I'm gonna do the modified version where you don't have to do any impact. Okay, 3, 2, and 1. Dynamic exercises, warm the body, heart rate goes up, prepare you for exercise.
All right,
that's so grab your resistant band. All right, well, we're gonna do a high pulls. We're working the V, all right? The delts. There are three heads to the delts, and we're gonna work the entire delt area. This is what everyone sees when you wear a dress, tank top, all that good stuff.
All right.
Okay, so we're gonna target it, and here we go. Moving in a little bit fast, we're gonna go to about 8. All right, you and I are gonna go to 8, but I want you to go to 15, okay?
All right.
A little bit faster. This is the full position here. Boom. Okay, we're gonna go in 3, 2, 1. Go. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 3 more, 6, 7, 8. I'm doing one more for good luck. All right, so once you got your 8, or you got your 15, we're doing our 8 here. We're gonna go right into it very fast. You can do an alternating bicep curl, or you can do both together. 30 seconds, nonstop, all right?
Whoa.
We're not gonna go 30 seconds because I don't wanna wear you out.
We're not? Come on.
All right, ready? 3, 2, and 1, go. So what you wanna do here is burn the calories, burn the fat, and just kind of feel that burn.
Oh,
right?
Yeah.
After a while, your body just gets a little warmer, all right? I'm starting to sweat a little bit.
You're slowing down,
keep
isn't
it going.
Cheer him on.
Come on. Keep it going. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, and 1.
Oh, I can feel the burn.
I feel that burn.
Too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So then with your partner, we can either, you can use that one.
All right.
You both have a seat. Okay. And partner one is going to work at one time, and then partner two will work next. Okay. What you're going to do is take here, bring it to the side.
So here we're working our abs.
Yes.
And our obliques on the sides.
Yeah, there you go. All the way to the side.
And of course you're working your core because you're leaning
your
back.
Your turn. There you go. So count out for 30 seconds, 30 reps, whatever you choose. There you go. The more you bring it to the side, the more you work that whole abdominal area. 3, 2, and 1. Nice. There you go.
Whew.
You got me sweating.
We have. Sean.
But that feels good because what we want to do is work at a higher pace, work a different cardiovascular system, and then keep on repeating that. Okay, so set your timer. All right, 30 seconds each exercise. Mm. All right, and then repeat it again. Do it for maybe about 3 times. Okay. Excellent. All right, let's cool it down. All right. What we're going to do is take this leg here, bring it right behind you, point your knee down, push your hips forward. In 3, 2, 1, switch. Switch them up. Take a nice deep breath. All right, relax. Both feet a little bit wider than shoulder width apart, right down to the middle. The further you can go down, the better. And be patient with this, because at the first time that you're doing it, you may not go down as far, but no. The more you breathe and relax, the more you can reach down and come up nice and slow. Shake it out. Feel good.
Oh yeah.
Heart rate is up.
You're glowing.
I am.
Shining.
I feel good, that's why.
Thanks, Shiny Sean.
You're very welcome.
Are you considering learning a new sport? It could be a huge advantage. Recent research found that men who improved their physical fitness reduced their chance of death by 44%. Middle-aged and older men who began a moderately vigorous sports activity like cycling, soccer, basketball, or hiking lived longer. They also have lower rates of death from heart disease. It is time to get off the bench. Taking up a new sport is another ageless advantage.
And now for the questions I've received from you via Facebook, text and phone. Someone called and said, I want to know how to teach my grandchildren how to become teetotal when their parents drink. You know, Paul in the Bible says, to avoid being conformed to this world, we need our minds to be transformed by God's power. So instill in your grandchildren a love for Jesus and his word. Educate them about the dangers of alcohol and model alternate behaviors for them. Hopefully they'll follow in your footsteps rather than their peers, because peer pressure is very powerful. Claim the promise that he is greater that is in you than he that's in the world. Someone texted, what is the absolute best way to lose fat off the arms? Well, unfortunately, you have to lose fat off all of the body at the same time. But you can focus on toning up your arm muscles. You know, work your triceps, your biceps, your deltoids. By watching Go Healthy for Good, you'll see a range of arm and shoulder exercises that will help tone those areas of the body. And also, watch your diet, do more exercise, and see if you can lose some of that weight from all over. Mary called and said, my grandson has allergies to food and grasses and can't play outside. He's getting lots of antibiotics for the cold symptoms. I guess you mean that the allergies are giving him. And he's been on his third course of antibiotics in just 1 month. Wow. What can you do to help? And are those antibiotics hurting him? Well, excessive courses of antibiotics will knock out bacterial flora in his gut lining, and it's best to avoid them unless there's a bacterial infection. You know, a cold is a virus, so a virus and, of course, allergies are not going to be helped by antibiotics, and the antibiotics may actually impair his immune system by creating more allergies because his gut is part of the immune system. So it's really important to stay away from the antibiotics unless they're needed. Replace those gut flora with child dose probiotics every day for 1 to 3 months. Build his immune system back up. And for the allergies, try to avoid the foods that irritate him. It's really important. Give him baby doses of vitamin C, which will help to relieve the hay fever symptoms. And stay away from the grasses whenever you can. Do hot half baths. So sit him in a hot bath up to his waist. He can play with his toys or whatever. He will keep him in the bath for as long as you can. And that will help to reduce the congestion that's in the upper airways. Hopefully he's going to grow out of this problem as he gets older, and his airways will also get bigger. I want to thank you for those questions. Remember, you can call anytime. Leave me your question. The number's 855-400-HEALTHY. That's 855-400-4325. And you can text, or if you're calling from overseas, the number's 301-960-5144. Or post to our Facebook page or tweet us. Now, have you ever eaten fennel? Then watch this. Fennel is a vegetable that grows as a weed in many areas. Every part of the plant is edible. The flowers are the most potent. The seeds are best used fresh and are an essential ingredient in spice mixtures in the East. It's been reported to help colic in babies, digestion in adults, menstrual pain in women, coughs, and if the seeds are powdered and left in kennels and stables, it drives the fleas away. The leaves are delicately flavored and can be used in soups or added to salads. The bulb is a crisp vegetable that can be sautéed, stewed, braised, grilled, or eaten raw. Its Italian name is Finocchio, rhymes with Pinocchio. Bon appetit! Wow, the power and flavour of herbs. Now we're back to health psychologist and change maker, Dr. Mark Ferries. Before the break, he was saying that a decision to change creates an emotional response. I asked him what makes the difference between an emotional response that elicits change and one that doesn't.
There is an intensity, and that's one thing that we consider. Usually, positive emotions come from a successful comparison to the standard. And so hopefully that standard is correct. And that positive emotional response typically is involved with a continuation of motivation. Effort continues. Negative feelings, on the other hand, have variation of responses. We could try harder, we could change, try something different, or we could give up.
And so if our comparison is unrealistic, we get a negative emotion, there's a high chance we could give up or become frustrated and then give up.
That's right, and that's the difficult part, and that's sort of, to me, the sad part is that a lot of people are faced with giving up, but it was because their comparison was faulty, their standard was faulty, their expectations were unrealistic.
What if the emotion, what if that negative emotion is actually not a bad thing? Can it ever be a good thing?
It can be very good.
Really?
It can. So with the intensity of emotions, and if you put labels on it, let's say, we see that eagerness, we would call that a positive emotion. When you transition slightly more negative, we might get a little frustration, maybe anger. But once you start getting past that, you get into sadness, depression, despondency, if you consider it on a spectrum. Well, theoretically, we consider the eagerness and the frustration actually very motivating. And so, you know, I'm frustrated with these responses, with these results. So, you know what, I'm going to try harder.
Right.
When we start shifting.
Okay, so feelings can even negative feelings, but feelings are good. Being in neutral and not caring is probably not as effective as caring but having a negative emotion.
Yes, positive is always better than negative, but yes, there are going to be times where we feel guilty, where we feel negative, and I think we need to embrace that and know that it's a part of the process and not be scared of those things. The frustration from time to time will occur. We have to stay focused on the ultimate goal and not focused on these frustrations that do happen, because we will all miss a workout.
Right. So how we can help ourselves or our buddies, because often we're buddied up doing this stuff, is to help them to not focus, or ourselves, not focus on the emotion, but on the long-term goal, and yeah, ride those bumps through.
That's right. And that's right. And we be honest that they're going to happen. Refocusing back on the goal can redirect the negative feelings toward a positive outcome. We can sort of transcend that moment and start our path back toward the goal. If we think too much on it, perhaps we do tend to drift into, well, now I'm sad, now I'm depressed. Those emotions are highly tied to giving up, and mm-hmm. What's the point? And so,
and it might also be a time that you want to say, okay, is my comparison, is my standard realistic? Do I need to adjust that rather than giving up? Would that be a valid thing to
That's
do?
That's right. I think both the behavior and the standard. And so the example we use is if I have a standard to lose this amount of weight, for instance, before this event, the family reunion or one of those.
Or the wedding dress.
The wedding dress. That's right. So I have this goal. Well, if I do have a realistic set of behaviors, and so if you do these behaviors and you live this healthy, proper lifestyle, there's a possibility you could fit into the dress, or you could get the blood pressure down, blood sugar down. However, I have to either be, if I can't do that behavior, then I'm going to have to adjust the goal time frame that I have, or I'm going to have to adjust the amount of weight that I can lose in that time frame, or the improvement in my health that can occur in that time frame.
Now, if someone is trying to lose weight and they really need to lose weight, can they adjust back so far that they simply accept how they are?
You bet. Acceptance is a very big chosen, oftenly chosen coping mechanism to this emotional response. And really our behaviors are coping with the emotions that we feel from these moment-to-moment, day-to-day interactions with this comparison from the self-monitoring that we do.
Mm. So it's important to keep looking at the goal and don't give up, don't accept, but perhaps reduce our expectations. That's going to be a better way to deal with that kind of situation.
That's right.
And there are some keys to avoid giving up the battle. Coming on the other side of the break, stand by.
To the dust, revive me according to your word. Having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, through the word of God, which lives and abides forever.
And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified.
So many ways to experience the Bible.
And we're back, talking about how to make healthy changes in our lives. Andrew's changes were triggered by an emotional desire for a long and happy life. He found that the behavioral changes he made were positive for himself and his family.
You know, some of my friends, they say things like, oh man, I can't wait till my kids grow up so that I can have some, you know, freedom or time with myself or time for myself. And you know, for me, I'm just the opposite. I want to spend time with my kids. They're young, and I want to spend time with them while they are young because I enjoy that. And having more energy and having spent time with them, they appreciate me as a dad. You know, I'm not just sitting doing work or ignoring them or pushing them off or delaying time with them. I say, let's go out there and do some activities. And that way, they see me as a dad in their younger years, as someone who's active and doing things with them and interacting. It's more quality time for me with them. And I feel that that's a time invested so that I will have a better relationship with them when they grow older. For anyone who would want to change or kind of go through the path that I've gone through, I would encourage them to go ahead and start slowly. You know, make small goals so that they're attainable, so that you don't get discouraged, so that changes can come easily. Someone has told me that, you know, small improvements are improvements nonetheless. So if you have an improvement, whether large or small, it's still an improvement and you're going towards a positive direction.
Change can come easily if you do it for the right reasons and in the right way. We're back now with Mark Ferries talking about how to successfully change behaviors in order to achieve health-related goals. We've discussed setting realistic expectations and the emotional responses that will either drive or sabotage change. I asked Mark to discuss how emotions alter behavior. So Mark, your model has self-monitoring, comparison, emotional response, mm-hmm. and then behavior. What does that part of it mean, the behavior?
Well, the behavior is typically the area that we focus on the most. And so I think the important key is that we've already went through several steps and processes just to finally get to the behaviors that we want to do. And so because the process is highly emotional, again, not for the bad, but just natural to the process, the behavior for a lot of us becomes a way to cope and deal with those emotional responses. Mm-hmm. And so we find in general coping, you can cope with the emotions, just the emotions. or you can deal with the problem and focus the coping there. And the problem focused in our scenario is reducing the tension that was created by the comparison. Assuming we have a realistic standard, how do we fix that problem? So is it a weight loss issue? Is it a fitness issue? Is it a reduction in blood sugar, cholesterol, blood pressure? So how, if I can create and actually lessen the discrepancy that I experienced, then in essence that's fixing the problem.
Mm-hmm. Now, you also talk about substituting. Mm-hmm. Now, this is really important, because when people make lifestyle change, they look at the behavior that they want to achieve, they think about all the things they can't have in order to achieve that goal, don't they?
Oh, highly, yes.
But you're suggesting that substituting is a better way to do that. What do you mean by that?
It is. So nobody likes to get things taken away from them. And so what we find is, and a lot of this began with smoking cessation and Dr. Prochaska and DeClemente, when they were looking at pulling cigarettes away and can we substitute those behaviors. Those behaviors are highly habitual. Mm-hmm. And so we find dietary in the way we eat, the way we are inactive, let's say, are habitual as well. And so if I can't do this or can't do that, can we substitute those things with perhaps it is food that we still enjoy, so it's just replacing one thing for the other. If it is physical activity, can I do that with my family now versus, you know, by myself? And I'm missing out on that. I have to give up family time. Well, now we're doing that together. Mm-hmm. And everybody handles that differently. But the mentality is automatically to get defensive and to say, you're making me give these things up. But can we teach people to substitute and to change? And, oh, well, I got to give that. That's okay, because now I got this option available to me. It's much more of a positive experience.
So shift the focus from what you can't have to what, now I can do this, or now I can have that.
That's right.
Now, when I was in medical school, we had to train mice to press a bar. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, they press the bar, they got a grain of wheat, and pretty soon they were spending all day just pressing the bar. Mm-hmm. And reward is a very powerful thing. Do we use reward in behavior modification, or should we use reward?
We do, and yes, we should. Rewards, I think for a lot of us, that's the reason we do what we do, and we like the pat on the back from our efforts, and I think people should be rewarded, and it may be a pat on the back. You know, that may be what you get. It may be someone saying, congratulations, I'm proud of you. It may be the physician that is saying, wow, I'm really proud that you've been doing these things. And so those, the actions and behaviors can be a reward in and of themselves. The problem we get is how we do reward. Mm-hmm. And yeah. I think there are some that are productive. We do sometimes things just for the reward, and that's the only reason I do it. I only do it for the weight loss, and only the weight loss is my reward. And we miss the process, and for lifestyle change, we can't really have that. We actually need the behavior itself to be rewarding.
Mm-hmm. Right. So, again, instead of focusing on the things you can't have, think about the positive things that you are going to achieve or have as a result of the change. You're going to feel better, your mind's going to be clearer, you're going to look better, you'll have more energy.
That's right. We use the word transcendence to refer to those, not only the emotional response, but the difficult times, and we have to put up with a lot of things to get to the rewards we want, not only in health and fitness, but our jobs and our family life and everything else. And so our ability to transcend those moment-to-moment issues and to keep plugging away is very important. We all want results yesterday, but that's just not the natural process. And so the people that tend to regulate emotions better, the people that can regulate these moment-to-moment things for an ultimate reward or goal, tend to be more consistent in their behavior.
So if we're not, we don't need immediate gratification, we're probably in a better position to achieve lifestyle change.
That's right. Yeah. Delaying gratification is a key component to consistency in behavior. So it is a cognitive function that we highly promote and train as a skill.
I was just going to ask you that. How do you learn how to delay gratification? Because our societies, everything's very instant.
Very instant. And actually, that's a skill that we're losing, self-control, delayed gratification. And so we start young, and I believe, and we learn how to delay or not as we age. And there's argument that certain generations are able to do that better than others.
So do you have some tips for our current generation?
Yeah, sure. I do in my class, in my grad class. I make them pull out their phones, actually. And during class, they can get all the information. So Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, they're getting notifications, but they can't check. So they know it's coming up, but they, and we do that the whole class. And it's almost automatic for some, and then, you know, you have to get on to them and say you can't check. But it's a good learning experience. And so, to me, I think you start small. So some of the tips, you know, personally, I don't have the internet or email on my phone. It's very simple. I can check email later. I don't need to check it now.
So you're practicing this every day with yourself by saying, I'm going to check that later.
That's
delaying
right.
Delaying that gratification.
And it's not necessarily easy, but you know, it is something that I believe in. And the problem that we face is if people aren't good at delaying simple gratifications, such as email or phone in this example, but then I'm asking them to exercise more, to not eat that snack at this moment, to delay gratification to high levels of self-control, it's not foreign to me that they have difficulty with that. So I think if we start small and our life is considering self-control and our life is considering delayed gratification, even though we may not like it, it does start building a capacity to self-control and delay gratification on larger goals that we may have, such as lifestyle.
That's really key. Thank you so much for being on the show
today. Oh, thank you very much.
Remember, we started wanting to turn our wishes into reality, so grab a pen and write down your top three health goals. Then decide which one is most important to you. Perhaps you want to improve your fitness, so buy a pedometer or a diary and record what you're currently doing. Knowing that information, you can then set a realistic short-term goal of how many steps you'll take each day or how many hours a week you'd like to be active. If you don't do enough steps one day, don't give up. To stay focused on the goal and remind yourself there's always tomorrow. Be sure to focus on what you're gaining by being more active, and every so often, be sure to reward yourself for getting closer to your goal. Pretty soon, the changes you've made will become second nature. Then it'll be time to plan on reaching your next health goal. Thanks for joining me on Go Healthy for Good. I'll see you next time.